This is the Lindell Report, bringing you news combined with hope by offering practical and achievable action points to assist you in defending and preserving faith and freedoms. And now, here is your host, Mike Lindell. All right, good evening. Welcome to the broadcast. Glad you are with us. Mike is on a business call, and so he is endeavoring to join us here in just a few minutes. But in the meantime, we'll hold down the fort. So Mike is planning to be with us. The show must go on, right? Joining me now is attorney extraordinaire. And I found out the other day he's got a master's degree in economics. This guy is brilliant. We had a great hour and a half conversation the other day. Dan Eastman. Dan, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks. Thanks a lot, Brandon. Great to be here. Thanks for having me back on the station. We've got a lot going on in Wisconsin today. It's been a very, very busy day for a Tuesday. We have news breaking this morning that our legislature. Let me back up. Last year, last legislative session, during the heat and the momentum of the election integrity movement, when Justice Gableman was investigating and Janelle Branch's committee was investigating, the legislature passed a joint resolution that would ban what we refer to as Zuckerbucks, or outside money being donated to municipalities. And lo and behold, the resolution passed with the idea that it would pass again this year. And under our Constitution, in order to amend our Constitution, we have to pass the same resolution twice in consecutive sessions of the legislature. And then we put it to a vote on a ballot referendum. And the idea was they would pass this in January right now and then put it on the April ballot. Well, we learned yesterday or last night or this morning that Speaker Voss has decided to pull that bill from consideration in this session, which means it would not be on the April general election ballot. And as such, our constitutional amendment wouldn't be passed. And there's some real problems with that, because in Wisconsin, we currently have an April election coming up. It's a nonpartisan, which is very important for the Supreme Court. We have a 4-3 split right now, with four strict constructionist justices and three more progressive justices. And one of the four conservative justices is retiring, and therefore there's an open seat, and it's hotly contested, because whoever wins it, their ideology will probably control the court, which could have a very detrimental effect on existing state law if a court becomes an activist court. So the problem is, we wanted to get the Constitution amended, and the only way to do that is to get that referendum on the ballot in April. And now we understand that Mr. Voss is backing away from that commitment. You know, he sold it to us last year as being a slam dunk resolution. Both houses, the Assembly and the Senate, passed it. We're expecting it to be passed again in January right now, and then be on the April ballot. And it looks like that's not going to happen. I understand that some of the grassroots has reached out and we're being told that, well, it's still on the agenda, you know, later in the session. The problem with all that is, in Wisconsin, we have an April election, which is a nonpartisan general election. And then we don't have another election until next April, a year later. There's nothing scheduled in fall. And of course, the general election a year later will be 8 months before the presidential election. And that's not a time to be amending your constitution to prohibit outstate money from pouring into these municipalities. So it's a real problem. This thing needs to be passed right now, and it has to be on the April agenda so that the people of Wisconsin can vote to decide whether to amend our constitution to keep this money out of our state. Now, as I'm speaking here tonight to you, the city of Madison is debating whether to accept $1.5 million in new Zuckerbucks, all for the purpose, of course, of improving their systems, because apparently their taxpayers are too cheap to pay for their own election systems. They're out panhandling around the country, and certain groups are more than eager to give money to liberal districts that will certainly increase votes. So it's a problem. City of Milwaukee has also taken well over $1 million. That's roughly $2.5 million in Zuckerbucks that's come in the last couple of months. Money is pouring into our 13 full-time universities in the state. that's a real problem because they're using state university resources to effectively get out the vote. Now, there's nothing wrong with a good ground game by either party, but the idea of using public infrastructure to, in predominantly Democrat areas or predominantly Republican areas to drive votes is should be unconstitutional. It should be illegal in the state. So the big question is, after a Legislative Audit Bureau investigation last year, and certainly the Justice Gableman, his investigation with two separate investigative reports, and also the ongoing efforts of Representative Janelle Branchon as head of the Assembly Elections Committee, it was a hot year the last time around, and we all expected this thing to be passed. So the question is, will they bring it to the vote, and will it go to the ballot in April or not? And keep in mind, in Wisconsin, we have 47 days before an election. The clerks have to mail out ballots, you know, to the mail-out ballot crowd. And that's 47 days before the election. So if you're doing the math on this, the Assembly and the Senate need to vote on this resolution rather quickly because they're quickly going to run out of time to get this on the April ballot. Mm. It can't wait until the end of March or the end of February. It really needs to be out rather quickly. So we'll see where this is going. It's obviously the grassroots in Wisconsin was stunned to see this news this morning. A lot of phone calls were made to representatives and senators. And of course, it just seems that in Wisconsin, election integrity has not been taken seriously by the public, by the politicians, and they've grossly misunderstood the importance of a vote and the sanctity of a vote to people who live in this state. I mean, we're taxed extraordinarily well in Wisconsin. Taxes are high here. People don't move to Wisconsin to save money on taxes. Our regulations traditionally and historically have been robust. So you're highly taxed and you're regulated quite well. And the only hope or option you have is to participate through the vote. And when people start to lose respect for that, then you don't have a vote. If you don't have a vote, then all you are is a tax-paying serf. And you end up in a situation where you're just regulated and living here. And nobody, it just seems that the government, the party in power, and the Republican Party controls the legislature, just simply doesn't understand this issue. So here we are, one more time, Wisconsin, trying to figure out why in the world our vote can't be protected like it is in other states.
Well, and you've got a Speaker of the House, Voss, who is a lefty. He's a Democrat, posing as a Republican, but I am convinced, and if he wants to come on the show, either here or my show, Brandon House Live, I'll invite him. I think he's probably too much of a coward to do it. But prove to me, Speaker Voss, you're not really just a Democrat posing as a Republican, because I think you are, because I found out that he is also part of some national organization. What is the name of that group that he's part of, a real lefty organization?
Well, it's my understanding that he's been reelected as president of the National Association of State Legislatures or something to that effect. And that's very common in the
National Association of State Legislatures. Yeah, just elected their president. And this is a lefty group, which tells you they all know he's a lefty, right?
Well, what they try to do is develop standardized legislation that's adopted across the United States to make everything uniform. And all of these type of regulatory groups, and I was in a number of them as a state regulator, they tend to be dominated by leftists who have a vision for America. And they give this vision to the members. The members go home and try to get it passed in their state. But, you know, this is where drop boxes came from. We, you know, Speaker Voss endorsed drop boxes, and then we find our state Supreme Court declaring that drop boxes, in fact, were illegal. And, of course, if you think about that, you know, if the drop boxes were illegal and there were hundreds of thousands of ballots collected in drop boxes, then perhaps the election should be suspect or investigated or looked at. Well, none of that happened. None of that happened. So these are the ideas that leak in. The same thing with Monday counting of absentee ballots. A lot of states will count the absentee ballots as they come in and they keep a rolling total. And that's great, especially if you are a party that needs to know where you stand the night before elections, so you know how many more votes you need on election day. We don't have that. Right now, you count all the ballots, absentee and walk-in, same day, starting at about 7 o'clock in the morning on election day. They've been pushing that real hard because they want to know all the absentee totals before Election Day because you can tweak your ground game. Well, voting isn't a football game or a strategy game or who can cheat the best. Voting is supposed to be a representation of the people's voice. A majority of people get to decide who our representatives are. And that's why you hear all this, you know, we have to save our democracy. We don't have a democracy. We have a representative system. Like, I live in an assembly district. We have 99 assembly districts in Wisconsin. There's 66,000 of us in one district. And you know what? We elect one person. And maybe that's the democratic part, is that everybody gets to vote for one person. But we send that person off to Madison to represent us. And, of course, you know, the wrong party is in, you're not happy. Your guy's in, you're happy. But that's the way the system is supposed to work. And if they don't respect that and protect that, then they shouldn't be surprised when the average Wisconsin citizen rises up and says, you know what, we have to change the system. We have to change it because our vote has to matter. If our vote doesn't matter, then we get to pay taxes without representation, and we get to live under a lot of regulations, and there's nothing we can do about it. We can move to somewhere else on the globe, but that's not the way America was set up. And these politicians just don't seem to respect the integral nature of our government as a representative body.
But isn't that because they don't want a government of the people, by the people, for the people? They want a uniparty where they decide the rules. You know, it's like a friend of mine said today. He said, I'm so disgusted. I'm just sick of it. He said, I'm thinking the next time I get in the fast lane in Phoenix where he lives, where you're supposed to have, I guess, two or more people in the car. He said, I'm just driving by myself in that lane, you know, because, well, you know, when the state trooper pulls me over, I'll give him my license and I'm going to very politely say, give me a ticket. But here's where I'm at. The government today at all levels, state, local, federal, they seem to pick the laws they want to enforce and not enforce. So I'm doing the same thing. And when the government starts obeying the law and not a two-tier legal system and obeying and enforcing all the laws equally, then I'll obey them. Till then, I'm going to do this. And if you catch me, I'll pay the ticket. But I'm going to do this because screw you guys. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of a government that goes about making up laws, breaking the law with impunity. And then when you do what the Clintons do or any of these people, gun running by the Obama administration, all the things the Hunter Biden family have done for the last 2+ years, that Biden's, that Trump's family couldn't get away with for 2 days, much less 2 years. You know, the American people are at the end of their rope. And I'm hearing from lay people that have never expressed this kind of emotion. They're all done with government. They're sick of it because they realize it's a sham.
Well, it becomes a real problem in society because we live under a social compact. There's this idea that we have rules, and yes, we all agree to live by them, so we have social order.
Right.
But we're seeing this, you know, in the city. Like, I live just north of the city of Milwaukee, which is my hometown. I love Milwaukee. But with this reckless driving phenomenon, you know, people are just basically saying, screw it. Why do I have to stop for a red light? Why do I have to drive 50 miles an hour? Because the laws don't make any sense. You watch this goofy stuff, you know, with Biden's Corvette locked in a garage and all this. People see that and you start to realize that there is truly two or three different systems of justice in the United States. Yes. And at some point, when people stop believing, it becomes a real, real problem because society breaks down and nobody wants to live in a society that's breaking down. It's not some fun utopia. It becomes a very dangerous and very troubling place, you know, economically, physically, socially. It's not good.
And by the way, just to remind our audience, because I didn't know this about you, Dan. I did not know you have a master's in economics till the other night.
I have a bachelor's in finance, and then I have a master's in economics, and then I went off to law school to do securities and corporate work. So really, you know, everyone sees me as an elections attorney, and I'm happy to be that. My very first case out of law school was a recount, as a matter of fact. But, you know, the reality is I spent most of my life in private equity and in business. That's what I do.
And you were a professor teaching a course.
Yeah, well, I taught full-time at Wisconsin Lutheran College in their business program. I was a head of the business school for a while. Was there 9 years in total. And my expertise is in hard money and Austrian economics and thinking about.
Which, by the way, for those who don't know, the alternative to that is a Keynesian, where you just print the money like we're doing now.
Yeah, it's that's a whole lecture in and of itself. I could spend hours talking about that.
And I would love it because that's right up my alley. But you know, okay. You probably haven't seen this because you're so busy. But on my show last week, and again today, and then tonight, I'm going to play some clips, some new clips. We have a video clip of the FDIC Advisory Committee admitting they're going to have bail-ins. They're going to have bail-ins like they did in Cyprus, I think it was back in 2013. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting there saying, we got to keep the public in the dark. And the guy actually says, the problem is the public has a greater trust in the banking system than most of you in this room do. This is the FDIC Advisory Committee, and they're saying, the public trusts the banking system out of ignorance because they don't know what's going on more than you guys do. But we got to keep them in the dark. There's got to be a need to know. Otherwise, we'll have runs on the bank. But people need to know there may be a bail-in coming. Actually, he says there is going to be a bail-in. There's going to be a bail-in versus a bail-out. And he says, but we have to be careful because we don't want runs on the bank. And, you know, you talk about the breakdown of society. Once people lose what they've worked for, and they're 50, 60 years old, 70 years old, and they've played by the rules. They've paid their state tax, their local tax, their federal tax. They have worked harder and harder as their money's inflated away with Keynesian economics. And then they realize everything they've worked for has been stolen. You know, that's a dangerous time because when people realize everything they've worked for in their life and saved and conserved and been responsible is gone. Gone.
Well,
a man that has nothing left to lose has nothing left to lose.
They lose it. Well, here's the good news. Most people don't have any money in the bank. If you look at the statistics, the average American has less than $500 in the bank. The bank takes a 10% haircut, you're out $50. The much bigger and more terrifying component of a clawback like that is in money market mutual funds.
Right.
I mean, back when I was back in the old days when I was the state securities commissioner, it was absolutely unthinkable for a money fund to break a dollar. You put a dollar in, you get a dollar back with interest. Well, it's been about 15 years now. The SEC and the Congress modified the rules that with money market mutual funds, they don't have to redeem dollar for dollar. You can, in fact, get a haircut. And why that matters is because while people don't have money in the bank, like in Europe, a lot of people have, you know, money in the bank. We don't have money in the bank, but everybody's got 401ks and IRAs and retirement money and you know, funds they're building for retirement. And all of that is fund-driven money. It's all in a mutual fund, which is either a money market fund or a stock fund or a blended fund or a bond fund. And when those funds start to break the dollar, you get a haircut. The banks don't really have to do much of anything because it happens at the wholesale level. The average guy on the street isn't really going to realize it, except when you go to your ATM and you put your card in, you want to take $100 out, you get $98, or maybe you get $90. That's your haircut. But if you if you're, you know, all of your money is invested in with a money manager, and it, you know, they've got you like 30-40% in liquid money funds, and that fund takes a haircut, man, you're going to lose a lot of your retirement. So it's a very serious thing.
Well, we've had Congress talking about taking people's IRAs or their 401k and giving them an IOU. They've openly had hearings on doing this.
Under the Obama administration, and it was terrifying. You can read articles in the Wall Street Journal. They wanted to convert your 401k balance to a monthly stipend, with annuitizing. You're basically taking a lump sum and annuitizing it. So let's say you've got $400,000 in your 401k, you worked your whole life. Instead of being able to pull that out and buy a retirement home in Alabama or somewhere or live your dream, nope, you get a check for $400 a month. They'd amortize it. They would monetize that and give you a check. So effectively, they would take all your $400,000 and they would just mail you a monthly check. They'd take your money. And of course, that was shot down. The mutual fund industry and the managed money industry said, wait a minute, we're not doing that. But those are the kinds of ideas they have, because keep in mind, our government is $23 trillion in debt. Nobody can count to a trillion. If I handed you $1 every second, how long would it take to hand you, you know, $1 trillion? It'd take like 56,000 years. And I got to do this, you know, 32 times. This is the problem we're at. I mean, when you start thinking about the concept internationally of a failed state, you know, why do these Latin American and African countries go broke? It's because their debt is vastly larger than their tax base. And right now, over 40% of our tax dollars goes to pay interest on the debt, the $32 trillion in debt. So, you know, that just gets bigger. And that's why they're very concerned about raising interest rates, because when you raise the interest rates, more tax base has to pay interest. That's less for roads, less for the military. It's a real problem. And how do you dig yourself out of $23 trillion? You don't. There's no way to get out of that. So you remonetize either through inflation, or now they're talking about electronic currencies and all this or that. What they're really doing is, how do you take the old Reichsmark and turn it into a Deutschmark and remonetize a worthless currency? You know, you go back into the 1920s and 30s in Germany, they ultimately used German land to recapitalize the Deutschmark. That's what they had to find. There's the only thing of value left was dirt.
They had to find some kind of hard asset to back it by, so people would trust it.
Because, you know, if we went to a gold standard right now, you know, man, you'd have to have, like, you know, $50,000 for 1 ounce of gold. And you can see that with the Bitcoin phenomenon. When that first came out, nobody wanted them. Now, one Bitcoin is, what, $68,000 or something? Would be the same thing. So if you got an ounce of gold and the system collapses, they remonetize, peg it to gold, you know, the rich are going to get richer. And if you don't have hard assets, you know, you're gonna be hurting. And that happened in Russia after the fall of the Soviet Union. They basically, the pensioners in Russia, just effectively their ruble value dissipated when new rubles came out. And you know what? They said, okay, they're the old people, we don't care, we're looking to the future. But if you happen to be on the old people side like me, you kind of want to be thinking about, you know, living on an annuity when the annuity won't buy you a carton of milk. So there's a lot to think about when you're dealing with the financial system. And unfortunately, I've been so distracted these last 2 years with this chaos in the elections that, you know, you start thinking about where we are in the financial cycle, it's not a good place. And you always have to be running proactive. You know, you better be your own defense, because, you know, nobody's going to come and bail you out. You know, if you ask somebody who's living on Social Security today, that's their only source of income. You know, you can't pay the rent, you can't pay the heat bill, you can't go anywhere, you can barely buy food, you're on food stamps. That's not an America we want to live in. We want prosperity. We want everybody to live a good life here, a meaningful life. So there's a lot to think about.
And it all connects back, because you're like, how can we fix this, we the people, when we the people aren't really picking?
If you don't mean a thing, then you're not going to fix it. You're going to take what they feed you. That's why a vote is so important. It's the fundamental bedrock right that we the people have. And keep in mind, these are our representatives. They're not, you know, some noble class that floated in and took over the place and we have to bow down. We send these people to Madison, and worse, we send them to Washington, which, and I was talking to my congressman the other day, boy, that's broken out there. But we can fix Wisconsin.
Who is your congressman? Is it Glenn Grotham?
Yeah, Glenn's a great guy. He really is.
I have him on quite a bit.
Stand on end after talking to Glenn.
I have Glenn on quite a bit.
Yeah, he's great. He's a great guy. But, you know, just talking and saying, what do you see in Washington? And it's like, oh, my gosh. You know, all we see is what's filtered through the media. But, you know, he's living there and, he works there. And, you know, what you see on the ground is certainly not what you see on the TV screen.
That's so it's, right.
You know, so it really. Let me just
make sure our audience understands what Voss. That's kind of what got us on this, was this uniparty, Republicans running as Democrats. We heard last week from a former South Dakota Speaker of the House, State Representative Steve Haugard, who was saying in South Dakota, we Republicans dominate, but we don't get a lot of things done because many of these Republicans are Democrats, or actually, he said, some of them are actually communist socialists running as Republicans because they have to get elected in South Dakota. So he says they run as Republicans, but many of them are just pure socialists / communists, but they're running as Republicans. So this kind of got us started. But let's make sure our audience understands that Voss, Robin Voss, Speaker of the House there in Wisconsin, you have to have a bill. Now, help me understand this. You have to have a bill pass the assembly twice before you can get it as a ballot measure for your state constitution, right?
Right.
Okay. So he backed it the first time.
Right.
Which was probably politically expedient since he was up for re-election, right?
Absolutely. Of course. He's running in a tight race against some, you know, no-name guy, and he wins by 262 votes. Why, he would have washed your car for, you know, to get himself re-elected.
Right.
So it was easy to pass this little gem.
So he doesn't get behind it and pass it second time, which means now it doesn't go to the ballot as a constitutional amendment to stop outside money coming in to fund elections and drop boxes and people like Zuckerberg and others, correct?
Right, right. And I think you can see the blowback today. I mean, I'm reading the internet all day long, and it's from one end of the state to the other. Everybody's just going nuts because they were lied to. We were told that this was going to pass, and it did pass last term. It's passing in January, and it's on the April ballot. And I'll tell you, given the outrage all across the state, people have been on talk radio, we got stuff flying all over the place. This is a clear indication that the people want this done. You know, if Voss is sitting there thinking, well, I'm elected, you know, I got a 2-year run, and we're going into the budget cycle, which is very demanding. The first term of the legislature between now and July is a state budget. Everything else shuts down. It's all about the budget. So it's very easy to lose these, you know, other things in the fog of the budget, which is the most critical thing. Of course, we're sitting in a $6 billion surplus thanks to COVID. So it's not like the state's going broke. But this has to be passed now before the budget starts. And that was his promise to all of us, not just the election integrity people, but every person in the state believed that we would have a chance as citizens to vote in a referendum as to whether we should amend our constitution to prohibit sucker bucks or any outside influence. I mean, our local taxes are sky high. We got professional teams of people working in these clerks' offices. They need an extra $1.5 million for what? You know, and
hold on, hold on. Hey, Dan, am I hearing this right? I just got back from a trip here for the RNC we'll talk about in a minute. Robin Voss lied to the state of Wisconsin? Is that what's going on?
Well, that's exactly right. We passed that resolution last year. Now, you know, well, here's January. You better pass it. You know, put your money where your mouth is, you know.
He's on my short list of the biggest traitors in this country. And I had the Milwaukee, some paper out of Milwaukee today calling and doing a hit, trying to do another hit job on me and asking me all stuff about Wisconsin. I said, how do you feel in Wisconsin? We have one of the biggest blockers in the history of the United States to blocking all the corruption that went on in Wisconsin. From you, like you're talking about the sucker bucks, drop boxes to the crooked WEC. And then I told the guy, the reporter, I said, do you realize in Wisconsin you have 7.1 or 7.3 million names on your voter rolls? And if every person that was eligible registered to vote, it's a little over 4 million. And that reporter's going, that can't be right.
the reporter ought to read their own newspaper. Perhaps they'd learn something.
It's unbelievable there, Wisconsin. And you know what, everybody, it doesn't take, as you know, Dan, it doesn't take but one person to completely block everything that was revealed. I mean, I can't believe it. You go back to all the investigations that was done by Gableman, and Robin Voss gets on TV and he says, well, until there's fraud. Yep, there's massive fraud, but we're not going to do anything. He told me straight out, unless we get a Republican governor, I can't do anything, Mike. I said, you know what? You're never going to get a Republican governor unless the Uniparty wants you to have a Republican governor. And then all the corruption they found, and he does nothing. Then he tells the public. The best was when he told the public, I think we have that clip. He goes, yep, we can't do anything unless a judge would actually vote. That, you know, our judge would actually make a ruling. And then the Supreme Court of Wisconsin rules it illegal, and Robin goes into hiding. You know, the next time that I heard from him after he pulled that stunt, on the night of the election, Dan, you're going to love this, he sends me a text. He says, Mike, I beat you twice. And I'm going to sleep really good, but not on your crappy pillow tonight. That's his quote.
You know? Well, that's kind of a petty mind. This is what we have for leadership in Wisconsin.
That's your leadership. You know,
there's no George Washington's out here, let me tell you.
Yeah,
sad.
Just terrible. Yeah. Dan, you want to, I don't know how, do you have more to cover, Brandon?
No, I think we covered it, didn't we, Dan? I mean, I guess we should give them an action point. What do the people need to do?
I think they need to call their representative and their senator and demand that that resolution be passed. It was passed last term. It has to pass same language, no amendments. You pass it again and get it on the ballot. It'll take you, what, 15 minutes, and then it's done. And then they've honored their commitment to the people of Wisconsin. You got to call your senator and you gotta call your assemblers and say, want this on the ballot. Let the people decide. The people of Wisconsin could very well vote, yeah, we love Zuckerbucks, free money, we'll take it. But that's the people's decision, because we've got a dysfunctional government. We've got a governor who would never sign a bill that Voss or the legislature passes, and we have a legislature that would never touch proposed legislation from our governor. So we have 4 more years of no governance in the state of Wisconsin. Now listen to this crap, this stuff, for 4 more years, back and forth, back and forth. I mean, great. And our, 7.5% income tax, highest gas tax in the country. And we're paying taxes, big taxes here, regulations all over the place. And we get a dysfunctional government. That's what we get.
And let me ask you this. What are you hearing from our source there in Madison? Is there any truth to the claim that Robin Voss has been charging people $10,000 to be able to sit on certain committees or not? Any truth to that?
They operate the RAC, the Republican Political Action Committee, and the Democrats have one too. And the deal is you get elected to the assembly. They send you a bill for $10,000 and you have to go raise $10,000 because you're a team player, right? And that money goes into the RAC, and then you get a committee assignment, you get a nice office. And of course, the more money you raise, the better your office. And that RAC money is a political action committee that's paid out to candidates in primaries or, candidates that are facing a challenge. But it's discretionary to a great degree to the speaker. So if you don't put the money in, you don't get on a committee and you're up on the fourth floor.
You're saying Robin Voss controls it.
Yeah, well, his leadership. Yeah, they control the RAC. And the Democrats have the same thing, which this whole thing stinks. It's a pay-to-play scheme.
It should be illegal.
I elect a representative. There's 99 of them. So we elect one. And in order to have anything I want introduced, somebody has to pay $10,000 to get in the door. I didn't sign up for this. That should be illegal.
Absolutely.
There should be no pay-to-play in Madison.
A lot of things should be illegal, but you got enough machines in Wisconsin, we get them melted down for the prison bars, and then we can put them all in there.
Well, we're working diligently on litigation prep, Mike, that you perhaps we'll talk about. There's a lot going on in this state.
Well, that's awesome, because let me talk. I'll catch up with you off air, and I want to hear that because I want to give a complete report of what we can. You're kind of like me now. I haven't put on, I got some great reports. You can stay on and hear the great reports, but the media's hitting me like, well, who else is doing this? Who else is? You think I'm going to tell you so you can go attack and try? And what we're doing now, we're doing so much, everybody, that we're not putting it out in the media. We're not going to put it out there because they cherry pick then who they want to attack and go after them. They tried to go after the Secretary of State that I met in Missouri. There was a spy there. Mike Lindell met the Secretary of State in Missouri and just attacked that guy. And he's doing all this great things for Missouri for election crime and election integrity. He's doing his job. But boy, I go have I have a meeting with them, and that's all the media focused on. And but there is good news. I must be right over target on a lot of things because I was interviewed by CBS, Esme Murphy, and she did a complete hit job on me. She hasn't done that before, just blindsided me with, and I got to say the word Dominion. She said the word Dominion. It was crazy.
Are you talking about WCCO?
Yes, WCCO. The first interview in Minnesota, or the media is going to talk to me in about a year and a half. What they did in Minnesota is to silence, they just go silent. But I want to quick give a couple updates here, everybody. We had a couple great things happen this past week. One of them was in the state of South Dakota, where they voted. We talked about it last week, Brandon, in Governor Kristi Noem's state there, where this horrible vote was going to go down against, so precincts committee people never got to vote again. Did you hear about this, Dan?
Yeah, we were watching that.
Yeah, they was never going to get to vote again, and it got voted down. They did not vote for that. Thank God. I mean, that could have had a precedence for the whole country and wiped out the foundation of the Republican Party. And but it did get voted down. And then we had I got hit up pretty hard by the media when I made a comment about all the counties in the country that are going to paper ballots hand counted. And one of them, as you know, Dan, announced just happened, I think it was, what, 3-4 days ago, and that was Arkansas, Cleburne County. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, that's good news. You know,
that was great news. It went viral all over social media, but then, of course, then they're calling me up, the from your CNNs to your Wall Street Journal, calling me up and going, well, who are the other counties? What are these other counties? Well, wouldn't you want to know? Why don't you call the guys at Cleburne County? They didn't mind going public, but anyone else, you know, these counties that are thinking about it or that are already committed to doing it, you think we're going to give them their names? Absolutely not. You know, once it's power in numbers, we're going to see a lot of counties, one after another, once as this gets going. And Dan, do you see any hope yet happening with the judges? I mean, not just in Wisconsin, where your judges, well, I think once judges start getting courage and making a decision and not kicking it out for standing or sanctions, seems like standing or sanctions, the bad judges are saying sanctions with the, I call them crooked, but I can, and because I don't care, you know, you're going to charge me sanctions? Are you kidding me? We can't even bring stuff to court anymore? This is nuts. But do you see any hope there with our judges in this country?
Yeah, I think that each case is a learning experience, and we're better understanding the feelings of the court. I think the courts have made it clear that they really don't want to interfere in the results of an election, notwithstanding shenanigans. And I think courts are very much afraid to change an outcome because they look at it as a political thing rather than a legal question. Right. So I think what we're seeing in litigation is we're starting to take a look at the legal mechanisms and looking at how elections are administered rather than a specific election. And I think we see that in Wisconsin when they brought the case against drop boxes. That case was tried on a procedural matter where you read the statute and the statute clearly prohibits drop boxes. And we prevailed on that. Now, I wasn't involved in that litigation, but the lawyers involved prevailed, and we, the people of Wisconsin, benefited because we challenged the WEC not on an election outcome, but on the fact of how they're administering all elections. And that seems to be a clearer path to victory, is to hold these elections officials accountable and responsible to administer the law as written instead of being creative with election procedure and letting one side or the other win. So
right. That's a good point you're bringing up, because we have, I won't even say the states, that's going on in quite a few states right now. Where they're looking at what their laws are. One state in particular goes all the way back to the 80s and 1970s. Hey, here's what we can do, and here's what we're supposed to be doing. That hasn't changed. And so that, I think you're spot on there. That I want to take a few minutes here and tell everybody why I was late tonight and stuff on this week. I'm running for the RNC chair. You know that, Dan, right?
It's been an
outpouring of support across the country, but the media has ignored me and talking about the two candidates. You know, like, where's Mike Lindell, right? Which they don't get, because they don't understand. There's only 168 people vote, 3 in every state and 3 in every territory. So I've been flying around. I'm actually meeting some of these 168 in person, and finding out what their concerns are and talking about these different things. But one of the biggest advantages that I have over the other ones that I believe that are in there, obviously Ron has been in there with 5 failures in a row, the leadership, and then they all sit there and they go, why? Let's bring in some team to find out why. Well, we've been sitting in this for 2 years. We know why. You got to fix your election platforms, right? What we're talking about. These platforms need to be fixed or it's over. You can't have, I was that hit job they were doing this morning with Esme Murphy. She asked me 2 questions and she wasn't informed. I slapped her back on it. One, she said, she talked about these machines, and I said, And this isn't a Republican thing. I said, this is, doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican. I said, the Democrats for two decades wanted to get rid of the machines, including my own Senator Amy Klobuchar. And Esme Murphy says, Mike, she never said that. I said, go get the movie. Go get the movie Kill Chain. You've seen the movie Kill Chain. Amy's right in there in Kill Chain. In fact, Brandon, if you can find, I want you to find the thing of Amy. If Amy, pull that tape up, if Logan can, he might not be able to find it.
Yeah, I can find it.
But I want to find where Amy Klobuchar says that. And then she said another one. She brought up something in Pennsylvania. Well, you know, Mike, there was some machines in Pennsylvania. They counted the ballots, and they said there was no fraud. What do you make of that? And I said, well, Esme, I said, here's something that's very public. I don't know what they did there, but I'm sure it wasn't a complete audit. I said, it's one of these fake little audit things, or fraudits, we call them. But I said, I will tell you about Pennsylvania. The last three elections, they've had more votes than voters. Even, I don't care if you're in elementary school, you can go, how come I have 10 voters here or votes here and I only have 8 voters? You know, I mean,
ground game is phenomenal. They are bringing out, if there's a name, there's a ballot cast. Whether the person exists or not, or they vote or not, doesn't really matter. The ballot gets cast because their voice has to be heard. You know, they must be heard. So they have an amazing ground game, and basically the Republicans don't. That's why I think you're the guy for that job, Mike, because you have the ability to sell. And what the Republicans need at the national level is to sell the concept of, what is a conservative American? What does this look like? And you can do that. I think you're probably.
It's rebranding. You know, it's like I was telling them. It's marketing. It's branding. And if the RNC needs trust right now, they need to bring back to them. I was a donor. Those donors out there, whether big or small or micro or macro, they're going to quit donating. You got to have a win. You got to have a win. It's like a ball team that quits and fails and loses every game. People quit coming to the game. They're certainly not going to buy a ticket to the game, and they're not going to donate to for this if it's, you know. And so you got to bring trust back. You got to fix it. I was telling them, you got to take it apart like a business and say, what each section, you want to make each thing as best as you can get. Their email marketing, Dan. Their email marketing, they found out 90% of their Gmails were going into spam. Google was screwing them over. And, you know, I've been there with Google. I've been there with Google. I've been there with Microsoft. So they did after, I think they said it was 7 months to get this, attack Google, go after him. The lawyers didn't want to. I give Ronna credit. I guess she's the one that stood up and said, we have to. But I wonder if anybody looked at the other 30-some email platforms where Google's about 36% of your email market. What about all these other 30-some platforms where you have Microsoft, you have Yahoo, you have Hotmail? You know, let's say Hotmail's 2%. Well, I want that being as best as it can be. I want to hit the 90-some percent, you know, sent out where it hits people's inboxes. So there's a lot of things like that. And I'm getting great response from all. As I talk to each one of them one-on-one, when I find out, I spent 4 hours the other day with one that's 100% Ronna McDaniel supporter. But those are the ones I like talking to because I'm going, tell me what you think is good. Where's the success here? And I said, if we have the same input, we're going to get the same output, you know? Mm-hmm. So they were doing a hit job on me this morning. I forget what outlet that was. Maybe it was CNN or whatever. They've been all calling me on this, you know, and the RNC, I said, you know what? I said, compare it to this. What just went on in Washington with 15 rounds in Congress, 15 voter rounds. If everyone doesn't think that good came out of that, they're wrong. It's beautiful. Deals were made and promises were made, and it's going to be different. If they wouldn't have done anything, it would have been status quo done. You know, instead, we get some good, you know, some good promises and some good. It's going to be different, even though the players might be the same. It's going to be different. So whatever happens out in California when it's voted on next week, I guarantee you, when we get through this, it's going to be different. And there'll be and I will tell everybody, I'll make a promise to everyone, no matter what happens out there, I'm going to be so transparent. I'm watching the RNC, whether I'm the one that wins or not, people are going to start hearing about this. You know, it's going to be everything transparent, and it's going to have to be fixed by someone, because if it doesn't, Who's going to give money to a losing cause, you know?
Well, the RNC has always been governed by an executive director. They've not had a CEO. And, Mike, you know, a CEO is a vastly different skill set than an executive director.
Absolutely.
And a marketing guy. That's all the RNC does is raise money and distribute money. It's a money thing. And, you know, in order to get people to give you money, you got to sell them. If you can sell pillows, you can sell Republicans.
Here's the clip. Here's the clip of Amy Klobuchar. Okay. Amy Klobuchar. Yeah. Here we go.
Hack into them. It makes it seem like all these states are doing different things, but in fact, three companies are controlling this.
It is the individual voting machines.
And then it's just one Democrat after another saying the same thing.
Right. Yeah, so I want to get out in front. Esme Murphy, that's WCCO here in Minneapolis or in the Twin Cities here. CBS, I don't know when she's going to air it, but we're going to get out in front of that because she went one hit after another. And she wasn't even really let me finish the answer. We're running out of time. We're running out of time as we go 10 minutes. You know, oh, you're getting the answer you don't want to hear. I said, Esme, that's a lie. That's a lie. Another one, well, that's a lie. She said the FBI took my phone and I had Wade's in my phone to break into machines to hack into our election. And I tampered with the 2020 election. Really? I'll tell you what, Esme, I took my phone and it was everything. I'll give you a copy of my phone, Esme. I have nothing to hide. You know, what are you trying to? And then I go, that's not what that report says. Then she changed her the way she read it, which that won't be on what she did. She goes, no, it says allegedly they were alleging you might have something on your phone like that, that's why they did it. Because they had to come up with an excuse of why they got my phone in the first place illegally, you know.
Wow.
And, you know,
well, that's how you know you're in the lead is they're picking on you. If nobody called Mike, you'd be bad. So
yeah. Well, no, you know what they do, and this is what they do, everybody, is when the media doesn't want to get when they don't attack me or do nothing, that's when I'm right over target. Used to be anyone out there that's getting attacked, you're right over target. But with me, they know that they can attack till they're purple in the face. I don't care because I'm using them to get the word out. So what they do to me, they must all sit in a room and go, all right, we can't talk to Mike now because he's right over us. And if we talk to him, he doesn't care. He's going to put the word out anyway. Just like the FBI guys, when they said, whatever you do, don't tell anybody. I'm going, okay, unless you tell this attorney general if you want to make this public. So what did I do, Brandon? I said, all right, everybody, plug your ears. Here, FBI, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's disgusting. But they're, you know, I'm telling you, that's what they're doing with this RNC thing. They must really fear me being in charge of that because they won't talk about me. They called me up the other day, the Wall Street Journal, everybody. And I want everyone to hear this. So out there, Harmeet and Rana, Rana being a Mormon, and what's Harmeet? She's a, what's it called, Brandon?
Trying Scientology.
No. Harmeet, it's all over the news.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
It's a silk or something. It's called it starts with an S. Well, anyway, so they're getting this battle out there, and someone made a comment on Facebook that's a Mike Lindell supporter. So now the media twists it. They call me up and they go, Mike, do you think that, you know, one of your supporters is trying to make this, you know, do you think religion should be brought into the vote for the, you know, chairman's race? And I said, you know what? This is what I told the Wall Street Journal. I said, let me tell you something, you guys. I said, for the first time ever, I said, I am the most transparent person. You guys can call me from morning to night. Every horrible journalist in the United States has my direct phone number. And I said, this time I'm not giving you an answer. Because I said, you guys, you're only asking me for one reason. And then here's what it would be, Dan. They would say, If I stick up and say, yes, I want, you know, there should be Christian conservatives, you know, that should be leading the thing. If I said that, they would say, Mike Lindell thinks he's better than everybody else because of his religion, because of Christianity.
She's a Sikh.
Yeah. Then if I said, no, it shouldn't be included, they'd say, Mike Lindell doesn't stick up for Jesus. You know, I mean, you know what I mean? There was no right or wrong right answer there. So for the first time, I told the Wall Street Journal, I said, You guys, I'm not going to answer you. Do your hit job on Harmeet and Rana, whatever you're doing, and let them go back and forth. I know where I stand. I'm a Christian. I'm a conservative. And I'm also, like you say, I'm a CEO, and I can bring this back very fast to places and prosperity it's never been before with the RNC. I already know this. And then they go, well, how are you going to have time? I spend 16 hours a day going around every state in the last year anyway. I deal at the bottom from the precinct level up to the attorney generals, the governors, meeting with secretary of state, meeting with the people on the ground. That's what I do. So, I mean, this would probably be, running this would be almost lined up with what I'm doing. It's just you're running a huge business, you know?
Well, and, that's what I mean about the skill set of a CEO. You've got your business on autopilot with your team in place. Everybody knows what to do and how to do it. That frees you up to be effective. You can do the same thing at the RNC. You put a competent professional team in place. That place will run itself with quality people.
Well, here's one of the things, you know, you bring up a good point, Dan. Here's one of the things, how I do run my pillow. And that's why I'm back here today. We've got, normally, on a normal day, 500 of my employees have my direct number. 500 out of maybe 2,000, wherever we're at. Now you say, your phone should be ringing off the hook. No, they only call me if there's a deviation or a block. And if I don't call, I get a piece about me that that everything's okay. And it is, because it's when they don't call and they're supposed to that we'd have problems. But I've had the greatest team. They all get the deviation and block speech all the time. And they have to err on the side of caution, like that, you know, is this a deviation? You better call me, right? But if I don't get calls, it frees me up. I have great people working, and that way you can go the RNC, you just silo each thing out. I'm gonna, this thing here, like let's say it's those email things. I put some guys on there, you put some geeks on there, and you get, hey, you guys, look into this, see where it's sitting. You get a footprint of it, and then you get people in there and you fix it. I told one guy at the RNC they have something called WinRed and Data Trust. Both of these things need to be looked into. They're both overpriced, I think. But I don't know. I want to do my due diligence to look into it. But one of the guys said, as I called the 168, he said, well, the Data Trust, and he's actually a Rana fan, and he's voting for Rana. But I said, well, do you have any problems? And how about Data Trust? He said, well, they're unresponsive. It says that they're unresponsive. And I said, well, if someone's unresponsive in my company, you would call the CEO. Did you call Rana? He said, yeah. Did it get fixed? No. Well, then the CEO is the one taking the blame.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm CEO of that, I call up Data Trust and say, hey, you got about 5 minutes to respond to Nevada or whatever it was. You got about 5 minutes. And if you don't, we're finding someone who can. That's it. You know, that's it. We'll find someone who can or that's responsive, because that's a communication hub there too. And the RNC is going to be so important. Like we have Cause of America, you know, as you know, Dan, everything in this country, it's like we've got like a network where we all communicate. And the RNC needs that. So if something good is going on, say in Arkansas, we want to all duplicate that. You know, if something's going bad somewhere in Wisconsin, we want to fix it and we want to avoid it and let the other states know what's going on. Right. Because that's the problem we've lived in for the last 2 years. They've killed. They tried to kill our communication. Is what they did. You know, what do you do in a battle? If you're in a war, you kill the other person, you kill their communications, and they're, it's over. You know, if they can't communicate, I think we're in a great place.
I'm praying for you, Mike. It's exciting.
Well, thank you. Thank you, and thanks for coming on, Dan. And I want to talk to you, and to discuss all the I hope it's great things going on in Wisconsin. I mean, there's stuff going on everywhere. I want everybody to know, give everybody the hope here in the last couple minutes or last minute. I know of over 40 lawsuits going on in this country for our election integrity, election crimes. And that's just knowing. We just did a count by the grassroots out there. These are citizens, a lot of them citizens doing it, that have rose up and just said, we're not going to take it. If you don't hear about it in the news, And there's so many things going on. People that I see in the street, and I say, you're kidding me. You know, wow, there's all these great things going on. And they go, and you know what I say to them? And it's almost 99% of the time I say, all you do is watch Fox News. And they say, how did you know? Because you're not going to see anything on there. Anything to do with election integrity or election crime. And so we'll leave it with shame on Fox, you know.
Okay. Well, good luck, Mike, and best wishes.
Thanks, Dan. All right, thank you. Okay. Brandon, I got to go. Brandon, give him your sales pitch, Brandon. You've turned into be quite a salesman here.
Well, it's easy because it's good products. So, folks, if you appreciate all that Mike is doing and working with great attorneys like Dan Eastman, Mike needs your support. We got to keep all this going. It's not cheap, as you can imagine, to fight these battles in court with all these attorneys from one end of this country to another. But as Mike says, it's going to be many of the judges that save this for us. And we're getting some good rulings. And yesterday we reported where a group in a court there in Arkansas, outlawed the machines. They're going to paper. So again, we got to keep all this going. And you can help do that by getting something for yourself at the same time. MyPillow.com, sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, mattresses, mattress toppers, robes. You can actually get a whole mattress delivered to your door, a MyPillow mattress delivered to your door in a box. You can even order the frame, the adjustable frame. All the details are there at MyPillow.com. Be sure to use that promo code L77. It denotes that you're watching the Lindell Report and you want to support not only the Lindell TV Broadcast Network, but specifically Mike's work. So L77. Well, thank you for doing that. Hey, by the way, that same code works at mystore.com, including the great My Coffee. You can get it in light, medium, or dark roast, whole bean, ground, coffee pods. It's non-GMO, not sprayed with pesticides. It's organic. So again, check it out, mystore.com. Use that promo code L77, and you can also set up a subscription so you get it every couple weeks or every month right at your door. All right, that's the Lindell Report with your host, Mike Lindell. Thanks for watching. Take care.
You're watching Lindell TV.